As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
It's Hogan Johns.
You know, when you give Tom Brady in that offense, when they start inside the 40,
for the touchdown, number 599,
4 or 5 or 6 times, you know, that's a lot. It's advantage them, and they're going to make you pay for it, and that's ultimately what happened.
From NBC Sports Chicago, it's Adam Hogue, and from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
Deep ball time, and is it there? Yes, it is. Back to Evans, turns around, makes the catch. What a turnaround, just in time. Step up, and now throw it, and it's caught for the touchdown. Evans with his third, Brady with his fourth.
And now, ladies and gentlemen,
it's the Adams,
the one and only
Hogan Johns.
The Adams converge.
Wow. I feel like I have begun many a Bears postgame episodes with that word, but here we are again, an absolute embarrassment.
We've covered some bad football games. This is by far the worst one of the Matt Nagy era, and it made me reference Mark Trestman twice in my column today. Twice.
You know what? This isn't where I thought we were going to start, but I would actually argue the Browns game was still worse. They have 47 yards of offense.
That's bad. That's bad.
And this is at least the defending Super Bowl champions who whooped your ass. I guess I'm just not completely surprised that this happened today. I thought it was on the list of possibilities. I thought it would have been the worst case scenario. And unfortunately for Matt Nagy, that's exactly what played out. This was the game he couldn't afford to have. Just couldn't afford to have it, because it raises, not only does it raise the doubts just that were already there to a whole nother level, but it brings in the conversation that nobody wants to have yet, which is,
do we fire the guy?
Well, but I was going to say, I was going to say, what's wrong with Justin Fields?
Yeah.
Like, because I don't want to put a ton of blame on the young rookie quarterback, but at some point when you have 3 fumbles in a game, losing 2 of them and throw 3 interceptions. I mean, some of that's on the quarterback.
No, it is. It is. I'll say this. His total stats this season should not be this bad. Mitch Trubisky wasn't this bad as a rookie. Everything you're seeing is like an accumulation of awfulness. I like that. I'll put that in my column for later. But it's his own rookie mistakes. It's his own inexperiences. Of course, those are coming to fruition. But it's just, we've seen this play out with Nick Foles. We've seen this play out with Mitch Trubisky. We know where some of the problems lie. It's not all Fields. It's what they're trying to do offensively, which we know doesn't work.
It's crazy that they had a 100-yard rusher.
Against the NFL's best rushing defense.
Like, all the problems that we've had talking over the years about this offense and how they don't run the ball, now they are running. This is just a scenario I never thought would have happened this year. They are running the ball successfully with 3 different running backs now. And the offense, they score 3 points. I don't know how else to put it. Like, it has to go back to the scheme.
I hated that field goal, by the way.
Oh, it was the worst.
I don't think you even finished your intro yet here, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
He's
hi,
Adam
guys.
Hogue, I'm Adam Johns. Yeah. Follow us on Twitter, Adam Hogue, Adam Johns. I got
you do the freaking intro. I'm with you. The field goal was coward.
Yes, thank you. Like, You're down 21 points.
Yeah.
You don't think Tom Brady's not going to score again? Like,
well,
did not like
you that. Know, I joked at the time that it's a good thing that they kicked the field goal to guarantee they wouldn't be shut out. And it turned out to be the case.
Yeah.
I mean, because let's be honest. They went for it on fourth down. They probably weren't going to score.
Who cares?
But well,
like, at least the effort, the attempted effort is there.
At least it wasn't 38-0.
Oh. Man.
No, I'm with you, though. Like, that field goal was... How about the punt in the fourth quarter?
Yeah.
You're in Bucs territory. I know it's fourth and 16, but you're in Bucs territory, and you're going to punt? I mean, that was just waving the white flag, saying, all right,
yeah,
let's get out of here.
At that point, I actually thought they were going to take Fields out, but apparently there's some more value in having him run around, do whatever he has to do. Yeah. I don't see it. It's debatable. I mean, but whatever. Awful, awful game.
I mean, I was actually thinking at one point during this game, like, if Andy Dalton had played from start to finish, did they have more than 3 points?
I don't know.
I mean, they certainly They certainly don't win the game.
Yeah. I don't think that's a question you have to entertain right now because you've already gone down this road.
Yeah.
You don't go back. Like, you don't do what the Dolphins did.
You don't go back
to Ryan Fitzpatrick in this.
I'm with you. In some ways, like... Again, going back to like the worst case scenario, like I think this is what the Bears were worried about with playing Fields.
Yeah.
I don't think that's an excuse. I don't think that's supporting what their whole plan was to begin with, because I think that had they gone all in from the very beginning that we're going to play this guy, we're going to develop him on the field, the results would be better. But they got kind of stuck in no man's land, and now they're ending up with games like this, where you probably never had a chance to win anyway, which we talked about all week.
But you don't want to get blown out 38-3.
Well, right, and you want the rookie to show something, like something positive. And it's at least last week you had a couple drives you could point to and be like, yeah, this was really good. This week, there's nothing.
No, it's Matt Nagy mentioning the throw out of the end zone over here where he was scrambling around. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Which
that's
I actually
positive.
Did,
yeah,
in the moment, I did turn to Jeff Dickerson and say Mitch would have run out of bounds for a sack. Yeah. So if we are going on the lowest absolute bar of outcomes, then yes, that's a play you highlight as a positive.
It's a problem.
He actually ran and like high-fived them.
that's a low point.
Oh,
you saw that? Like, that literally happened?
Let me credit the Fishman for that. Kevin said that too.
He didn't say that next to Kevin the whole game. He didn't mention that.
Oh, he mentioned in the post-game press conference, like right after Nagy walked out after praising that play, he pointed that out. So I don't know. Where do the Bears go from here?
This is where the McCaskies have to be brought into the conversation, because like this comes after a week where Aaron Rodgers says he owns your team. You're blown out by Tom Brady. Everybody saw it. You have this new young quarterback whom you love. He's now part of the evaluation of Nagy and his coaching staff. He even Pace too. It's great that he's here. He wouldn't be here without Pace and Nagy. But now they have to show that they're best for him, and like that in itself should require time. I've always believed that, right? Like if you believed in them to draft them, trade up and draft them, then you got to give them time. But this game, I mean, how could you argue otherwise?
I agree with you. You do until. Unless
that's a better way to put it.
Unless you get a situation like this where you're really like, are they really putting him in a situation where he can be successful? And I think it's both of them. You have to talk about both Nagy and Pace because this gets into some of the other stuff I want to talk about. I mean, the offensive line I would describe so far as okay. Ish.
In some games, I think they'd overachieve.
Yes. But if you're in a position where losing Elijah Wilkinson the morning of a game can result in two strip sacks given up by Lachavius Simmons, like you knew all week that if Wilkinson went down at any point in the game to an injury, because you're always playing for that's your next man up situation. That's a problem. And I think it's also... It goes to evaluation both in the front office in terms of being put in that situation. Now, I will say in that specific case, you've had Tevin Jenkins go out, Larry Borum go out, Jermaine Ifedi go out now at this point. Like, so at some point when you're down to your fifth string right tackle, you're going to have problems. But how long has Alex Barr been here?
How
many times has Alex Barr stepped in these moments? So to start Simmons over him, like, that's the coaches that do that. Where you set the depth chart as coaches. And that's, I mean, that looks like a disastrous move.
Kevin Fishbane and I were talking about this before. Maybe they just wanted to use Barrs as, you know, those, what, 6 to 8, maybe 10 snaps where he comes in as the extra offensive lineman. They really want to run the ball. You know, they wanted to run the ball, but you didn't see that, at least when Simmons was on the field.
No, not with him. I mean, maybe there was one or two. I don't remember seeing it right off the top of my head, though. So there's that. But then more from a personnel standpoint, I mean, and I know I keep harping on this, but, like, the weapons are just not good enough. Like, you see, this is a game where the Bucs have, they don't even have Antonio Brown and Gronk out there. But Brady, 3 touchdowns to Mike Evans. Chris Godwin, really good player. Like, Cameron Brate was, like, sort of just a guy until Brady got here. Now he's a pretty good weapon. Yeah. Like, it. Then you compare that to what the Bears have, and nobody's open. Nobody's making plays. How many balls did we see go off wide receivers' hands? And I realize some of those are, like, not the best touch, or maybe Fields fired it in there a little bit too hard. But you're an NFL wide receiver. These are your hands. Yeah. And when the ball hits the hands, you need to make the play.
Cole Kmet has to make that catch. Yes. First down. Darnell Mooney, make the catch. That's a first down. Those are problems. And they were the Bears' leading receivers. I have been long on this. You know, I think I gave the guys this year a little bit more credit than it was probably deserved. The speedsters, Marquise Goodwin, Demir Byrd, obviously they have done nothing.
They don't do anything.
They haven't done anything this year. There's probably layers to that, whatever. But, like, this goes back to a couple years ago where we were arguing in Washington, of all places, about the skill position players of the Bears.
Yeah.
Now we have 2-3 years of this. They're just not very good.
Yeah.
Not very good.
Well, and here's another thing I'll say. It's like, when you have two guys like that, and Demir Byrd and Marquise Goodwin, who are doing nothing, like, why did you then cut Rodney Adams to make sure you got Breshad Perriman?
Yeah, who hasn't played all year.
Like, give him a chance.
Yeah.
Now, I say that with very low expectations for Breshad Perriman because he's been in, like, 5 different places and, you know, doesn't do much. But how about Rodney Adams? Seriously, I'm at this point where, like, Rodney Adams, okay, was he just a great training camp story? Maybe. We've seen plenty of those over the years. But he's sitting there on your practice squad. Can he give you at least a catch? He seemed to have a pretty good connection with Justin Fields.
And what is going on with Allen Robinson? Speaking of connections with Justin Fields or lack thereof, I mean, that third interception, like, I called that out in the press box, pat myself in the back. I'm like, Robinson's got single coverage.
Yeah.
Either it's going to be short, they're going deep. They went deep. Underthrown ball. I mean, but that connection doesn't even seem to exist.
Well, and that's the thing about that throw, though. Are we sure that it was just underthrown, or was it a back shoulder throw? I don't know. I thought when the ball was in the air, I saw two guys that were not on the same page again.
Yeah.
Like, that's, to me, the bigger head. Like, whatever happened on that play specifically, it's every game one or two times where the number one wide receiver and the quarterback are not on the same page. Yeah.
And I've long thought this. This goes back to the 2019 season, like in Los Angeles, where Mitch Trubisky's scrambling out to his right, looking down the field, trying to make a play. And, like, there's receivers who stopped, like, trying to help.
Yeah.
Like, they stink at the scramble rules.
Oh, they're awful.
I don't know. It's just, it's odd because in this era of pass-happy NFL offenses and all these quarterbacks with big arms, like why are they not better at it? Like, this is 2 or 3 years in the making of them not being good at the scramble drill.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Hey, if you're like me, an outfit, good or bad, can impact your entire day. Wearing a starchy shirt, that just doesn't feel good. You're not comfortable. It's hard to look good and feel good at the same time. But That's where Roan comes in, because men's closets were due for a radical reinvention, and Roan stepped up to the challenge. Roan's commuter collection is the most comfortable, breathable, and truly versatile set of products known to man. They have products for every occasion. We're talking about the world's most comfortable pants, dress shirts, quarter zips, polos, blazers. They look great as individual pieces that work seamlessly together. Roan's signature four-way stretch fabric is breathable, flexible, and works everywhere from your commute to work to even the 19th hole. It's time for unparalleled confidence without all the hassle. My favorite Roan shirt is this white dress shirt. Looks like a dress shirt, but it also looks casual at the same time. It's got anti-odor technology. They call it Gold Fusion, and it doesn't get wrinkled. It stays fresh and clean all day long. No lingering odors or anything like that. The Commuter Collection is easy to care for while staying fresh and odor-free. The Commuter Collection can get you through any workday, straight to whatever comes next. Head to roan.com/Adam. Use promo code Adam to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Roan. That's rhone.com/Adam. Use code Adam. It is time to find your corner office comfort.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
Man, this is going to be an interesting next couple weeks. Like, that's the only thing I could say is, no matter what, would we agree that number one on the list has to be Justin Fields' development?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You brought the McCaskies into the conversation. Yeah. So if you're the McCaskies, you're Ted Phillips, and you're sitting there watching this, like, on your checklist of things that you need to see this season, when you sat there on the Zoom press conference at the end of last year and said, like, you know, we saw this and we need to see this going forward. Like, on that list, now you got that quarterback, you better see that development. And right now it's not there.
Well, you're wondering why Mac Jones is playing as well as he is right now for the Patriots. I still think Fields is the better player. I would take Justin Fields over Mac Jones every single draft year. But what are they doing in New England? I know they got Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels, but
that's the thing. Nobody's questioning the coaching in New England.
No, nobody.
Nobody's questioning. And they shouldn't, because it's New England.
Yeah. And there's reasons that, you know, they're trying to coach through Mac Jones' rookie mistakes. Like, it was just last week where part of the conversation in New England was, why did Bill Belichick not take timeouts at the end of the first half and just let the clock run out? Because he didn't trust Mac Jones. Mac Jones just lit up the Jets today. It seems layered, more layered than it has to be, but this goes all the way back to training camp, man. You know, like, this conversation we had last podcast. You know, like, the Bears, they only have themselves to blame for Justin Fields stinking it up the way he did tonight.
But there was a scenario today, at least a possible scenario, where you lose a game, maybe you don't even cover the spread, which was 12.5, but you saw development from Justin Fields. And, you know, my pick was 34-21, and that could have been that scenario where you're like, oh, Justin threw for 3 touchdowns and but, you know, the Tom Brady was just too good. The defense got worn down. They end up, you know, giving up a fourth quarter touchdown. All of a sudden, it looks like it was out of hand. But I could see then if you're looking at it from the McCaskies, you'd be like, well, but there was progress. Like, offensively, there was progress. This was an enormous step backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And those were except for Khalil Herbert.
And those are baby steps anyway, like, against the Packers, right? Like, he made good reads. I agree. You know, he threw, like, that throw, like, one of their highlights was his deep ball shot to Marquise Goodwin that ended up being pass interference. But I'm like, that's the point. Those are baby steps. It wasn't a victory. Like these, like you said, are like what happened here on this field was a lot of steps backward, like leaps and bounds backward.
Mm-hmm. And then there's this whole COVID problem that just seems to be getting worse. As two more players went on the COVID list today. We mentioned Elijah Wilkinson. That's why he wasn't playing, because you know, he may just be a close contact, maybe test positive. We don't know at this point, but second time for this guy that he's on the COVID list.
Yeah.
You knew this was a possibility when you bring in the whole vaccination conversation. You know you have guys who are vaccinated. You know you have guys who are unvaccinated. Back when we go back to like training camp, you're like, are guys going to get cut who aren't vaccinated because you can't rely on them? This type of thing is always on the table.
Yeah.
In this pandemic world that they live in.
And the COVID protocols had a direct influence on this game.
Yes.
I firmly believe that. That's why they were down to LaShavius Simmons as your starting right tackle. I know Wilkinson is your swing tackle, your top reserve, what have you. Not a starter. I get that. But he still prepped all week as your starter.
Yep.
And now he was out. Like, direct impact on this game.
So, and then, like, in general, this just keeps getting worse and worse. Like, I think this is something that matters, too, in the conversation. Like,
every other day, it's a new player.
It's another player. How bad is it going to get? How much does it fall on what they're doing inside Hallis Hall to mitigate this? Not every team's having this problem this year. The Bears are right up there now with the Cardinals with, like, the worst outbreaks.
Yeah. Cardinals are undefeated.
Yeah, they're undefeated, though, so that helps. I don't know. It's another thing in the equation that seems to matter, and you wonder what...
Well, it's another thing for Matt Nagy to navigate. Now, he is successfully... I put this in my column tonight. Like, they've gone through a six-game losing streak, a quarterback controversy that actually he created himself. Like, they've gone through some stuff where he has to coach his way out of trouble. Mm-hmm. Now, some of that trouble he's created himself, but they made the playoffs last year. They haven't had a losing season. There is value in that, but this is different this year, man, with the pandemic, with the protocols, and plus Justin Fields' development. There's a lot of Matt Nagy's plate right now.
Well, and I'll bring up something else I brought up during training camp is, you know, Nagy passed a couple opportunities in press conferences to really put his foot down like some other coaches did on the whole vaccination issue. And he didn't do that. And so, like, if this was happening in Washington right now where Ron Rivera was very, very emotional and adamant that he wants to see his players all vaccinated, you can give him a pass for this happening because you'd be like, well, the head coach, you know, tried. I don't think you could say the same thing about the Bears right now. Maybe that's fair, maybe it's not, but, like, the messaging hasn't really been there. They like, oh, we educate our players. But it hasn't been, like, a strong, you know, encouragement, at least in my opinion, based on what they've said publicly, to mitigate this issue. I guess I'll put it a different way. I'm not surprised that they're here with this based on what I saw in training camp. I'll just put it that way. And we, like you said, and I totally agree, it affected the game today. Was it the difference in the game? No, definitely not the difference in the game, but it really hurt. How about it hurt? You can put it like this. It hurt Justin Fields.
It hurt their quarterback.
It put him in an unfair position to have, and then not only that, but then the, like, how many times did they leave with LaShavius Simmons on an island too, where he just got
that's a problem.
Smoked.
Yeah,
so that's on the coaching too. I think it raises serious questions about the position they're putting Justin Fields in to have success.
Well, amongst many other questions we have about the positions they're putting in Justin Fields, it's just there are layers to this, man. You know, before it was the play caller. The play caller has changed. I don't know who the next play caller can be, but didn't look good today. And I know the Buccaneers are a superior opponent. The Bears could look better next week against the 49ers, but I mean, we didn't need a reminder to know that the Bears aren't a serious contender. You know, the McCaskies got that today.
Yeah.
That's when they start changing their mindset on things, and it's the conversation that we know, we all know, they didn't want to have in week 8 of the 2021 season.
But here they are, and yikes. The second week in a row, they throw an interception on what they thought was a free play.
Blows your mind.
How does that happen? And by the way, this one I'll put way more on Justin Fields. Like, there was a guy running off late, so it would be relatively normal for somebody in the headset to be like, hey, they got 12. But the quarterback has to know if the guy got off or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And he clearly did. And so for Justin to say that he was running around there thinking they had a free play when, again, no flag was thrown for the second week in a row, you got to have more awareness.
Yeah.
You just do.
I would say that's a growing pain, but
yeah.
I know what you're saying. But that, maybe as a I want to question the coaching more.
Yeah, well, maybe you guys, I guess going forward, it's happened 2 weeks in a row, stop trying to do the free play thing.
Yeah.
Just run your deal, and if you don't get a penalty that you could have had, I guess too bad.
Yeah.
But it's better than throwing an interception when you don't have a penalty. Twice.
Yeah. It's true. It's very true.
It's like, oh man, some of this stuff just blows your mind. I don't know what to do anymore.
Nothing left to be said. Yeah. Ugly loss. They are only 3-4. So the season hasn't completely been lost.
Well, I put that in my column. There's 10 games left, which is either a good thing or a really, really bad thing.
Yeah. Either way, you'll learn a lot about who the Bears are.
Thanks to Justin Fields, Roquan Smith, and Khalil Herbert for talking to the media here in Tampa.
Two rookies,
and the one guy who talks after every game in Roquan Smith.
Yeah, I hate that's that. Like,
it's a bad look for the franchise.
Media complaints. Yeah. I don't think give you a full illustration of what a team is in terms of accountability and leadership. But, man, you and I covered last year's Lovey, where it was Briggs and Tillman. And, you know, even Cutler was out there every single day. And, like, there were other notable players talking a lot. Brandon Marshall talked a bunch, you know. It wasn't always positive, but at least you had your best players talking.
I remember getting in battles with Brandon about talking. And then he would, you know, he'd huff and puff and get in there and be like, all right, what do you want? But he would do it. He would do it. He wouldn't be happy. Wouldn't necessarily always treat you with respect when he did talk to you, but he did it. It's a matter of accountability, I think. And it's just a distinct difference between wins and losses. Like when you see that party in Las Vegas after they win, it was just a completely different situation. So, I don't know. That's like just another layer to the whole deal.
Layers. We've used that word a lot.
Yeah.
When you lose 38-3, there's a lot of layers.
Bad layers. Like a layer cake can be sometimes really good. It's a bad layer cake.
Like the one Joey made in Friends.
Oh, yes. With the meat in it.
With the meat in it.
And he thought it was good. No, it was Rachel made it.
Rachel didn't make it. I don't remember.
Yeah. But Joey liked it.
Bad analogy.
No, I think it's a good analogy. Although I can't think of anybody who liked this layer cake. Not even Joey. We better get out of here. This is getting silly. Follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hoag, at Adam Johns. Thanks for sticking with us. Shout out to the Bears fans that came all the way down here to Tampa. Good crowd. They saw nothing that was enjoyable.
No.
I know
hopefully a few. They ate well and enjoyed the 85-degree weather.
A few of you had Hoag and Johns shirts on, taking photos awesome. In front of the big ship. Those cannons were firing often today. But thank you for that. We appreciate the support. You can get your Hoag and Johns shirts on obviousshirts.com. Check out the YouTube channel where you could be watching us, Raymond James Stadium here in the background. I like this place. I've always liked this stadium. I like these trips to Tampa. We come here a lot. They used to be in the same division.
Yeah.
That would be cool to come here every year. We still come here a good amount. Anyway, we're out of here. We'll head back home, see what Matt Nagy has to say Monday. Whew. This was a bad one.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
See ya.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.